Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
From Sinatra, swing to Brando stage. Marilyn's Grace to JFK's age. It's Johnny Russo, Hollywood's own. With Jeannie Raymond, secrets are shown. Hollywood Godfather.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for another Hollywood Godfather podcast. I can't believe we've been on for over 3 or 4 years now. Like, we have hours and hours and hours. And thank you all for being loyal to myself and my gorgeous co-host, Jeannie Raymond. My darling, how are you today?
I'm great, Gianni. How are you?
Just hanging out. This is one of my favorite shows, as you know. Mailbag. I love to
hanging out.
People are saying about us and what they want us to say.
Well, Gianni, you're hanging out at the moment. I don't know of anyone that gets as much done as you do. You have always got something in the works and you work around the clock. That I know, because I get text messages of all hours. I'm one that I had one kid that was a little wild, let's say. And so I always had my phone next to my bed and turned on, you know. So if anyone needs to call, I've got that emergency line right by my head. And so I'll hear these messages come in 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning. And it always cracks me up because you've always got something going.
Well, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning is when I call Europe and do my work over there. So that happens 5 or 6 days a week.
Well, I love it because there is going to be no grass. What do they call that? No grass growing beneath your feet, because you are making the most of every 24-hour time period that you can. I love it.
See, I got used to no grass growing under my feet living in New York. There's very little grass unless you go to Central Park.
That's funny, because right here, I live in a little community where I mow a lot of lawns. All my sweet little old ladies, older than me. What'd you say?
Such a royal, good person to neighbors. You're always doing something for people. And that one lady, I know you go do her nails for her. You cut grass. I mean, that's very commendable.
My mom says, well, you're always busy. And I said, I stay busy because I'm not one to sit around much.
You're saying exactly who I am, but you're the same person. You got to stay busy. I think it's more fun than staring at the wall or watching television all day long. Forget about it.
Right. I don't watch a lot of TV. I've always got an AirPod in my ear. So, I've always got something going, which is how I found you, is listening to a podcast. I love hearing different things.
Our audience and I thank you.
I love it. I thank you. I love it because I get to hear all the questions. And when I have questions, I can get them answered right now, as opposed to having to write into the show. But thank you all for writing into the show. We love your questions, your comments. We try and answer them. I see a lot of them. I don't answer them on the comments. We answer them on the show. So some people have asked, I don't see that you answer those here. And no, it is because we use those for our mailbag. We try and answer them on here and keep the conversation going. So nice part about answering on here is it sparks new ideas for Gianni. It gets us onto another story or another topic and gives us another reason to do another show. So we thank you for those. Please keep them coming. We appreciate it so much.
We definitely do. All right, what's your first question?
Well, now I these come in and they I'm just using their handles. It's sent.mi.lowerpeninsula. She says, do you know anything of Sister Helen Travis of the Bronx?
Say it again, Sister Helen Travis?
Yes, of the Bronx.
No. What's she known for?
I don't know. I think there was a video or something, so maybe we'll look into that and
something about her doing a lot of charity work or something, but I don't know. Again, what time, what period are we talking about?
Yeah. All right. I'll look into that. Thanks for the question, and we'll see what we can find out about that. So another question was, did you know James Files, a 19-year-old hitman, and worked with Charles Nicoletti or Nicole?
No, I didn't know him. How old is he?
It was back in the JFK days, I believe.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know him at all.
Charles Files.
I was under a rock for a long time because of the people I worked for. Nobody knew I even existed.
Sure.
And then we called the Godfather. But, you know, then it was a total different time in my life. I've had so many people, especially the newcomers, I call them newcomers. They're all criminals that now have their own podcast. I can't believe killers and, I mean, such fugitives have their own podcast and people are following them. I mean, it takes all kinds, but to me, you know, I've done a lot of things, but basically the people I went after or they went after me and suffered the consequences were bad people. Now everybody's got podcasts. It's crazy, including us. So I shouldn't say anything.
Well, you've had a remarkable life with many, many careers. So it's incredible all the things you've had your hands in and all the different talents that you have. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, you're a singer, an actor, an amazing cook. You paint, you know, you're not doing it for a living, but those are a lot of talents that you have come across. Now,
bored. I don't know if it's talent, but it's
well,
staying active.
Right. Now, did you play a musical instrument?
I played the sax and clarinet to build up my lungs, and I played the piano just to coordinate my body after being polio, because a piano player, his left hand is doing something his right hand's not doing. So I needed that coordination. So I learned how to play the piano just to re-coordinate my body. But I could play Bach, Czerny, Hannon from memory. People get crazy. They think it's a play of piano sometimes. I walk in somebody's house, I'll sit down and play Beethoven's Fifth or something. It's like nuts.
That's incredible. I took piano lessons as a young kid, but I'm not very good at sitting still for very long.
Well, I would think you'd be a better drummer.
You know me too well. That's exactly right. That's funny. All right, let's see.
So far, two for two, we didn't answer.
What'd you say?
So far, we've two questions and two no answers. I don't know them.
All right. Well, you should know this one. This is Maserio Morgano. What part of Sicily were you born in? Or where is your family from?
My family is primarily from, my grandfather's family is primarily from Palermo, Sicily. The Russo, if you look up the liturgy and the legacy of La Cosa Nostra, fortunately and unfortunately, my family's been there forever. On my grandmother's side, they're Neapolitan. So they're more the cooking, the culture, and I listened to Enrico Caruso for the first 7 years of my life. And now the last part of my life, it's been Sinatra. So, but that's who we are. We're Sicilian Mezzanabalidan.
Say that three times, right? And so is that who taught you to cook?
I just learned how to cook because I wanted to. I was around chefs and people, and I love cooking. And I was always a person that started talking to people and how'd you make this dish? And they told me. My grandma was a good cook. My father was a good cook. A lot of Italian men are good cooks. But my father wasn't going to cook me, teach me how to cook. You didn't even talk to me. I don't love talking. Teach me something.
Well, let me tell you, 1 year I have my friend who you autographed the book for, and she made this beautiful dish for me to take, because I never cook. When we go to family Thanksgiving, stuff like that, I'm not a big meat eater, so I'm never going to make a turkey, right? And so they tell me, bring the rolls or bring the drinks, so I'm like, okay. So I get there this year and I bring the most beautiful dish. I don't even know what it was called. It's been so long ago, but it was this layered dessert and it had berries and nuts and whipped cream. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. And my family was like, oh, and I was like, yeah, I made this. And of course they knew it was bullcrap, but anyway, well, and I didn't know you cooking people. Okay. Not me. Then they start asking questions like, oh, well, does it have this or does it have that? And I'm like, oh, shit, I have no idea what's in there. And then they keep asking, and my sister and I'm like, and I'm going to her, shut up, And on and on and on, I'm like, I'm going to knock you off your chair. Just zip it. Just be glad I brought a dish and the drinks, right?
Enjoy it. Be quiet.
Right. Well, I didn't realize that part of making food means you need to describe every ingredient that
you made it so easy for you to do. That's what they were testing you on.
Well, yeah, if I'd have known there was a test or anything I brought was going to take that interrogation, I would have prepped for it. And finally, I said, before we got in a fist fight at the family party, I'm like, all right, I didn't make it. My friend Jeannie made it and I brought it. And it was magnificent, but yeah, I didn't make it. And they knew it was all bullshit anyway, because they knew I wasn't going to be bringing this gorgeous meal. But if I ever try and fake it again, I will certainly read how it's put together. So funny. All right. This is another one from Saint MI Lower Peninsula. Gianni, do you know Antoinette Giancana? She's a timeless beauty. Do you know her, and would you invite her to be a guest on your show?
I think the girl she's talking about lives in Chicago. I know her father.
Oh, okay. So Sam Giancana, right? Is that right?
If that's the Antoinette they're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. So enlighten me, who was Sam Giancana? I know the name.
Sam Giancana was the underboy. He was the street boss in Chicago, and because Ricardo never wanted that position. But if it's her father, he was shot in their basement in their summer kitchen by somebody he knew. Because he couldn't control Tony Spilotro. And he was in charge of Spilotro going to Vegas and watching the skim come in. But he became, they made a movie called Casino about him. And Joey Pesci played him.
And oh, okay. And did they called him the Ant, right? Is that right?
Yep. But not they called him the Ant. That was Spilotro. But Sam Giancana, no. Sam Giancana was the street boss.
Right. So why'd they call Tony?
He was shot on a Saturday morning by a friend because he had to be a friend because he was in the basement having an egg omelet with him when he got shot.
Do you know who shot him?
No. We ain't going there.
Yeah. It's still a secret. Okay. I got you. All right. Oh, okay. Philip wants to know, do you have any good stories about the Tropicana?
I have all kinds of stories. The Tropicana Hotel? Frank Costello owned it.
Oh, geez.
Hello. I opened a club there.
Was that Tiffany's?
When I left New York, he sent me there when they was trying to straighten out the reason I wasn't at the July 28, 1981 rally for Joe Colombo, because I got a phone call from Tommy Bilotti saying, don't go. I said, what do you mean don't go? I'm on the dais. Joe Colombo got me the part in The Godfather. He says, you can't go. That's when they shot him five times, and he never came out of the coma. So I went to the Tropicana Hotel by the orders of Frank Costello. He said, just stay there till we straighten this out. And he said, I own it. And he owned it. That's when I opened the Tiffany's, the club, and Elvis came every night for me.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I look back, I would have loved to have, those are the type of, I listened to all your stories about back then, and then you see the incredible, everybody was in a suit. All the women looked incredible.
Different time, different era. You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. All right. What was the, Shelley, what was the first job you ever did when you started working for Costello?
Just messenger, the same one. I was always a messenger for him, personal. Just all his.
Taking money, envelopes.
Just envelopes. I knew there was money in them, but I don't know what it was for. But obviously, as I got to know who he was and what he was, you know, a lot of it was bookmaking and Shylock money and numbers, and he controlled it all. So that's what I did. I didn't consider it a job at all. To me, it was a privilege.
Just running errands. You just get an envelope. What would you do with them? Stick it down your pants, in your pocket, in a carrier bag? How'd it work?
I just put them in my suit jacket, you know, and if you know, they were all different sizes, I'd put them different places and just go deliver them. I only was in about a 10 block radius of where he was, because he was always, you know, either at the Copa or at the Waldorf. So that's what I did. But the interesting thing was, every time he'd shake my hand, when I met him in the morning, he was just a gentleman. He had $100 bill rolled up in it. That's how I started my day, every day, in the 50s.
I'd like to start every day like that right now. That would be very fun, very fun. All right. This is from Jimmy. He wants to know, do you know any stories of Jimmy Chagra?
Jimmy Chagra? Yeah, of course.
And who was he?
Yeah, his end of his career, I knew of him. Most people think that I was on the street level of crime. I was never there. I worked with Frank Costello since I'm 12. I never, you know, was talking to these guys.
These guys. Okay, you were just in the background. You never had to get involved.
Private messenger. Didn't have to make my bones. I didn't have to prove myself. I didn't have to do anything. And that's why most guys hated me. You know, I mean, John Gotti, the reason he didn't like me, he didn't know who I was and how I got there. Because they wanted it that way. And fortunately for me, I had no problems with it, because I lived my life like anybody else. Everybody tried to figure out what I did, but thank God you couldn't, because I'd be doing a lot of time.
Right. So you were just in the background of all of this.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. Why did they call back to Spilotro? Why did they call him the ant?
Because he was a little pain in the ass, a little short like an ant.
Oh, he was Joe Pesci. I got you. That's what I've heard, but never to his face, right?
Well, I call him anything I want. I don't care about Joe Pesci. Was he a tough guy? He's an actor.
No, I mean the ant, the real guy.
Well, that guy was the guy who machine gunned my house. Hello?
He machine gunned
my house in Vegas. I went to Chicago, and complained about him. And that's when him and his brother Michael were called in. And unfortunately, they were beat to death with baseball bats to send a message. Oh, no, he always in my face. This guy was always pushing my buttons, but I would never react to him because I wouldn't go. I was not doing what he was doing, and I didn't want to be even associated with the guy. He had so much heat on him. Then he created that whole hole-in-the-wall gang with Frank Collada and all of them. They were, they were nuts what they did in Vegas. They destroyed Vegas. Like John Gotti destroyed New York for the mob, he destroyed Vegas for the mob. I mean, these guys.
Bellagio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
When all the corporations came in.
What came in?
That's when they took Howard Hughes and made him a front person for them. They had to take it over. They knew there was so much skim going on. They had to find out. Even the cocktail waitresses, they got federal agents to be cocktail waitresses because these girls were saying, I make $30 a day, $40 a day. They were making a couple hundred dollars a day.
Right.
It's free. No, they had to get Vegas under control.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and go to a commercial right now, and we'll come right back.
Yeah, and again, what we're promoting right now is Chiller Theater. It's one of the biggest shows. I'll be there October 24th, 25th, and 26th. And obviously, look for me in all the resorts worlds. We're planning a couple of things right now. I'm, you know, as you know, I'm doing the Columbus Day weekend, which will be over by the time you hear the show. But there's a lot of events coming up. And again, I cannot thank Barnes & Noble and Amazon for promoting my new book. And I say, as I say again, buy it. It comes out on May 18th. You could buy it, ship it to me. I'll sign them for Christmas presents. And right now, Amazon's offering 25% off. So with all that said, that's basically what we're selling. That's our commercials.
All right. All right, let's see where we are. Oh, this was from Jerry. Did you know of Charles Harrison, Woody Harrelson's father, that was accused of murdering the judge?
Yeah, that's all he did. I mean, I would never know that guy. Where they lived in the West, in Texas or somewhere. No, and I mean, it's unfortunate that that guy carries, Woody carries his father's, you know, burden of that. But, you know, so we all have relatives that kill somebody, I guess. But his father, I mean, that's a claim to fame I wouldn't want to have.
Right, right. That's a, yeah, that's crazy because I've heard that he said his father was an informant for the CIA and then, of course, everyone.
Not a good person.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. All right. Let's see. Tell us. Let's see. Here we go. Let me find the name to who wrote this one. Sharon. Sharon asked, what was your association with Thomas and Mack in Las Vegas? How'd you know Thomas and Mack?
Thomas and Mack is a stadium.
Well, is it in that Thomas Perry or Perry? What? I thought there were bankers or something there that did financing.
Thomas and Mack is UNLV, the stadium.
Oh, okay.
I had no association with them. The Thomas I knew was Perry Thomas, who
from
Utah, who was the president of the Valley Bank. That's the guy I wanted to know.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure.
He said, Mac, wait a minute. I didn't play basketball.
Right.
I knew Jerry Tarkanian, who was the coach of the world of basketball. UNLV had some basketball team, always did.
Right. Yeah, that's a big place. There's always something going on there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Were you in Las Vegas during the mysterious fires in 1977? Or do you know anything about it?
There weren't mysterious fires, if you're talking about MGM.
I don't know what it is. It's from Jonathan. He said it was listed as mysterious fires in 1977. What do you know of the mysterious fires in Las Vegas in 1977? I don't know. I wondered if there was a rash of fires.
I had a mysterious fire when my job site burnt down and there was no signs of me building my hotel.
Oh, and did you say the MGM caught on fire?
Yeah, but, no, not the MGM, the one on the corner. What was the name of it? Bally's.
Oh.
Look it up. It's a major fire. The Bally's Hotel on the corner of Flamingo and Las Vegas Boulevard. You Google to find it. You'll probably find it in 2 seconds. That was a big fire.
Oh, wow. And what started that?
I don't know, but people were laying, the dealers were laying on the table covering the money. Because all the chips, everything was they were in action.
Holy cow.
See what you find.
All right.
Bally's Hotel.
Oh, 1980. Let's see. The MGM Grand Fire of November 21, 1980, the second largest hotel fire in the history of the United States and the deadliest event in Nevada history.
Yep.
Holy cow. Were you there then or were you gone?
Yeah, no, I was there then. Yeah, I was still there. Yep.
Holy cow.
I had State Street. I closed State Street in 89.
Oh, wow.
No, that was huge.
And it was in 1980, I guess. I was wondering why I didn't hear of it, but I was probably in junior high. It said the MGM Grand Fire, November 21st. Oh, same as what I said. Because of raging fire and severe smoke from the blaze, 87 people died and 700 were injured in the 26-story building.
Is that amazing?
That's incredible. How have I not heard that? I guess I was young. It didn't matter.
If
no alarms.
Vegas, you would never know. Yeah.
Wow. That said, there were no alarms rang, no automatic fire systems. The only system had was security.
So all the building codes down there. How do you build a 22-story building and you have no smoke alarms, no fire? It's crazy.
Was that normal?
No. Well, it was normal then.
Yeah.
They got away with everything. They didn't care.
Wow.
Now
they
it's
said that
Bally's, I think is the name of it. If it's still open, I don't even know.
Well, this oh now they said it's haunted. Hauntings of the MGM Grand Fire of 1980. Yeah, that I can't believe how many people died.
86. Hello.
That's incredible. It says most of them died from smoke inhalation, and they were all over the.
Yep. Who asked that question? Good
question. Whoa, I think it was Jonathan. Jonathan.
Jonathan, thank you for that one. That's a good one, man.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Not in a good way, but I mean, that was a part of history in Vegas.
I'll say that's crazy. I've never even heard of that. It says they have ghost tours in Las Vegas. Do you know any stories about ghosts in Las Vegas?
No, only people I want to get rid of.
All right. Speaking of Las Vegas, this is from Jeff. What was the first business you owned in Las Vegas? I know you did a lot of different things, but.
The first business actually was Russo and Castaldi Jewelers Store. Then I opened up Johnny Russo's Wig World. I had a lot of crazy businesses. Just to have fun with stuff, you know. But
yeah.
My first business was Russo Castaldi Jewelers in Maryland Square Shopping Center.
Well, and that would be a hard business. First of all, I probably wouldn't want to get rid of any of my inventory.
Well, no. The bottom line, what I did, because of all my connections here on 47th Street, the jewelry industry up here, I took everything out of consignment from them. So it looked like I was selling a lot of things. I'd have it on consignment for 30 days. Anything I didn't sell, I'd bring back to New York and change it. So you always thought my inventory was changing. So all the showgirls, but I came up with a business within that business. Because I used to tell the showgirls, if you meet a guy, and I know these guys just don't want to give you money, but if they want to buy you something, say I have something on layaway at Russo and Castaldi Jewelers. And then I gave them a code to say what was on layaway. Is it 5,000? Is it 10,000 or 15,000? And they'd bring the guy in, and I knew the girls, and I'd make sure they call me. Because and I'd be there so I could handle it myself. This you're not going to believe. So here, you know, she'd give me the ratio. I'd give her what it was, and he'd pay for it. Then when he left town, she'd bring it back to me. I'd give her half the money and my ring back. And they were good with that. I made, you know, half the money on something. I got the piece back, and I didn't even own the piece. The piece was on consignment from New York.
All right. I want to know, how did you learn all these little sleight of hands, so to say? What, did they just pop up into your head, or did you see that? Or
I was always, when things came to me, I was always trying to figure out, how could I get into that business without buying into the business? Then I heard about consignments, and I heard about this, and I heard about that. But then Vegas, you know, because of, again, these, they call them Johns, they don't want to say they gave you money. So, let me buy you something. We just want some money. Well, I don't really want to buy something. I have something on layaway. See? Because they don't want to go to a jewelry store, and then she's got another necklace or another thing. She'd probably had a box of that stuff. So I
right.
came up with this idea, and they'd call me. And I'd go meet them where they are. And I'd bring a piece. You'd say, you know that ring I have on layaway? Well, a friend of mine would like to see it. And then I knew to bring a ring.
Well, and I love, the good thing about you is that your mind works so quick. You know? That is to your advantage, and all of the different ways that you've made great opportunities of things that you have connections with.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that didn't happen, then I wouldn't be doing anything.
Yeah, that's wild. I just thought that was so crazy when I had heard that story. So I just thought, always to be looking for a way to make some money. I mean, and the thing is, the guy was going to buy her something anyway. And if she didn't want jewelry, I mean, that's a win-win. The guy looked like a hot shot. She wasn't going to just get a handful of cash.
Yep.
So walk away. Everybody's happy. Everyone's made a little bit of money.
Yep.
I love that.
Worked
love it, love
for
it.
Me, actually.
What'd you say?
It worked for many years.
Oh, I'll bet it did. I'll bet it did. It would be hard for me because I like the jewelry. That would be hard for me to pass that. But all right. Well, let's see. I had one more question. Oh, this is from Michelle, and she lived in Reno, Nevada. Do you have any, what is the best advice you give to your grandkids?
Wow. In this day and age, it's so hard. Fortunately, the advice I give any child is stay in school, get educated. Because it's not like it used to be. You just, if you don't have a piece of paper on the wall, you're going to disqualify yourself immediately because everybody wants those documents. You know, I think we had more opportunities when we were younger in my time because, you know, if you were smart, you could survive. Now that if you don't have a credential or you don't have a resume that they want prior to even coming in, how do you get in the door, you know?
You know what I call resume. When I started working for the government, you had to get online and you had to fill out this application. And I've read people's resumes. There was one, he called himself a sanitation engineer.
Yeah, it was a garbage man.
Yeah, and a janitor. I'm like, you know, they make you, if you don't have a resume that makes you sound like absolutely
exactly
phenomenal. I'm like, if you're a sanitation engineer, you've got to hire somebody or get somebody to write your resume. I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, garbage men, most garbage men probably don't talk the way they want that paper written out. So I always call that creative writing. If you've got a great resume.
Hey, if it got him in the job, that's
great. Exactly. I had told my mother one day, I can't even remember how it described this fancy thing I did at work one day. And I read it to my mom and I said to her, don't I sound fancy? And she's like, yeah, what is that? And I said, I take a marker, a Sharpie, and I write a name on a manila folder. I'm like, that's the dumbest. But it just sounded real impressive the way they had written it out there. I just thought, some of the silliest stuff out there. All right, let's take another quick break and do commercial, and then we'll finish up with the last couple of questions.
Okay. Well, again, we want to thank you all for sending in the cards and letters. Keep them coming. Again, the only thing I have coming up that you can come see is Chiller Theater, October 24th, 25th, 26th at the Hilton Hotel. That's October 24th, 25th, 26th, the Hilton Hotel in Parsippany, New Jersey. And for some of my people overseas, I want them to know I'm almost sold out. January 2nd at the Lark Theater in Dublin. January 2nd, they're going to put on another show. January 3rd, that's the Lark Theater in Dublin. Get your tickets. I'll be there. I love all this stuff. It's so crazy.
We can't even keep track of you here in the U.S. Now you're leaving the country. I love it. All right. Well, we have one. Gopher State 777 is always on our comments. We thank you so much for always putting something out here for us. He has a suggestion, and I'll read it to you. It's not likely to happen, but he said, what do you think of the idea of every once in a while having Jeannie sing the opening and Gianni sing the closing of the show? Just for your fans as a special surprise to your longtime listeners. I think it would be a hoot to hear Jeannie sing. Even though she is not a professional, she would be fine because she is a personality. Well, I'll answer.
They want you to sing?
Yeah, me sing the opening, you sing the closing. Which, great idea, but I can't sing. I can barely talk with this voice.
Do I sing? Do I have a singing opening?
Well, you have. You've sang, you know, when I first started listening, you sang the, I don't know, it's kind of a party song. I've tried to describe it to you before, which I love. I love hearing you sing. And then you have sang Speak Softly, the Godfather song.
Yeah, I do that.
Right.
That's what I do. That's one of my major professions is singing.
Right. Not mine.
Was my singing teacher. Hello.
Right. Well, I did not have Sinatra to teach me how to sing Gopher State, which I appreciate it. But, you know, some people can very.
I'd love to teach you.
What'd you say?
I said, me knowing Sinatra, he would have loved to teach you. I can only imagine some of the things they'd want to teach you.
You know, I'll tell you, this voice, you know, is not for everyone. Because when I was young, there was someone, he just called me Squeak Toy. I'm like, I don't know, it's just the voice that came with me. I don't have any special training. But thank you for the suggestion. You'll probably hear Gianni sing again. Not going to hear this one sing.
Okay.
What's a funny question? Let's see, what was the last one? Oh, and there's one. I wish I could figure out what this guy's handle is. I was trying to read it again. It might be pre-CBS Fender. I'm not sure. He is the one that suggested that we once a month talk about your shows. So he said, could you tell us some stories, more stories about being on the set of The Godfather, which, if you got a funny story you haven't told us about that, he'd like to hear one of those. And we'd like to thank him real quick because we will be doing more shows talking about Gianni's movies. So those are coming up. But
that's great.
Yeah. So do you have, is there any stories about the show that you like, what was your funnest scene to film on the show The Godfather? Do you have a favorite scene?
Not really, because to me, I was so enamored that I got the part, number one. And to be working with such noted actors, Marlon Brando especially, Richard
Right.
Conte, John Moore. I mean, I was in awe. I was 25, 26 years of age, and the book was in its sixth print, and I was just happy to be there. I mean, I don't know. I guess just because of me being around Italians so much, I was believable. But, I actually got nominated in Cannes for Most Promising Newcomer, and I was so proud of that. But
That's it.
in Cannes, they nominated anybody new that made a film. So I was up against Diana Ross. It wasn't male or female. Diana Ross did the movie Lady Sings the Blues, and that's who won.
That's incredible. That's wild. I watched, because we're talking about all the different movies that you did. And I watched one. I've just watched it over the last week. Actually, I've watched a few. And handsome guy, first of all, very handsome. Well, looking at your shows,
Who's that?
you. I was just thinking. I was laughing, looking at him like, holy crap! You had a great head of hair. Still do, luckily. And I saw the way you were dressed in the one that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Laser Blast. And I'm watching that, and in this show, you're driving a fancy car, you're wearing good looking suits, you're this good looking guy in this movie. And I was like, I loved it. I love watching you, when.
To that, what happened with me a lot of times when they brought me to wardrobe, I would say, I'll use my own suits. Well, we can't pay for it. I said, don't worry about it. They were giving me suits like from Robert Hall. I'm wearing clothes from Leighton's. So that's why my wardrobe always looked better than everybody else's. Even mob bosses were looking at me saying, like, they were the mob boss and I'm dressing better than them.
Yeah. Well, isn't that funny that you say that? I remembered you telling me that now, but that was one of the first things I picked up on as I was watching this show. First, you had the fanciest car in the place, but your suits was the first thing I noticed. I think that's funny that that's your own clothes.
They always did that, fortunately.
Well, that's awesome.
Time to close this one up and thank you all for tuning in again. We have some great shows coming up. And like we know we have a request on Laser Blast. We're coming up with that. And just keep the cards and letters coming. We loved visiting you every Wednesday night. Tell your friends and Jeannie, what other messages you want to give them?
Well, one last question was, where can we hear Hollywood Godfather? We are on so many things. I ought to get a big list, but we're on Spotify, we are on Amazon, we are on Audible, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, everywhere. Please give us a rating, tell your friends about us. We'd love it if you'd share the show. We're also on Instagram. And you can find us under Hollywood Godfather Podcast. You can find Gianni under Real Gianni Russo. I'm at Jeannie at Hollywood Godfather Podcast. We'd love you to be friends with us. Give us suggestions. Leave us comments on there. We'll try and get those brought onto the show as well.
All right.
All right.
All be safe out there.
That's right.
It's pretty dangerous, those streets, so be careful. God bless
That's right.
you. Good
All
night.
right. Good night.
God
Good
bless
night, Gianni. Have a good night.
you. Please.
So like, comment, subscribe, don't miss a show. Catch us on video or audio on the go. Send your questions to Hollywood Godfather Podcast.com. Join our newsletter, come along for the fun. Follow at Hollywood Godfather at Real G. So we'll see you next week. Now you know where to go. table.